In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we hear of a woman that her faith is great. The Lord said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done to thee even as thou wilt." Now we must learn something of this woman so that we can apply this knowledge to ourselves. We could learn something of faith, we who know very little about the faith. We say we have faith. We say we are Orthodox Christians. But in many ways, if we look inside ourselves, we see that in many ways we live without faith. Let us learn something about faith from someone who is such a good example. Now, the woman was from Canaan. You've heard of the land of Canaan, idols and such. The Jews had to fight the Canaanites in order to go into the land of promise. Well, those peoples and their idols were never obliterated because the Jews didn't obey, right? They were supposed to kill everybody, but they didn't. And this was a land that was full of demons and full of unbelief and full of evils. And this woman was not one of those people that was full of evil. Her daughter, though, was possessed by a demon. Now, we've heard of demon possession in other places in the scriptures where the Lord rebuked the parents, as in the case of the father who said that his son would be thrown into the fire and the water and his disciples could not help him, so would he help him help his son. The Lord rebuked him, saying, "How long am I to be with thee, O wicked and deceitful generation?" Because the father's sins had brought upon the possession of the demon in his son. This can happen. Now, we must surmise that the woman did not have a sin that caused the possession of a devil to possess her daughter, because the Lord said that she had great faith. He didn't say anything about the faith of this man that had a possessed son. He rebuked her. So this woman's daughter was possessed by a demon because of the evils in the land. Now, and this is the case to this day, that sometimes people are possessed by demons or fall into great sins because of their evil surroundings, other times because of their evil parents, evil family. Now, she comes to him and cries out, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David." What an amazing thing to say. Not necessarily to ask for mercy. Of course, she needed to have her daughter healed. But that she called him son of David. This is a pagan woman. A pagan who's more Jewish than the Jews, who understands more about the Messiah than they do, because the Lord indeed is the Son of David. That's a messianic title. The Lord would be from the loins of David. It was prophesied in the scriptures. Now the Jews that ended up crucifying the Lord knew these same scriptures, but because of their unbelief, because of their hardness of heart, because of their ambition, they forgot about this. They knew he was descended from David. So knowledge doesn't help much unless we have virtue as well. And this woman had great virtue, as we'll see in a minute. It's truly amazing that she said, "Son of David." Who told her this? She must have just heard. Maybe she heard the Lord preach. She probably didn't have access to the scriptures. She had a heart that was open and willing to be touched by God. And even as a pagan, nominally a pagan, because she truly was a believer, she came to know about the true God and had the courage to call him by his messianic title. Now, she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil," and he doesn't answer her a word. He doesn't say a word to her. He ignores her. How rude. How many of us, if we had a daughter that was vexed with a devil, or someone who was very sick, would we react as this woman did, just by continuing to follow, continuing to cry out, not being all huffy and angry? Do you think this would have worked for Jairus? I don't think so. The Lord had to baby Jairus a little bit more than this woman, the leader of the synagogue. He would have become quite angry if the Lord just ignored him for a while when he asked for help for his daughter. So the Lord is ignoring this woman, and she keeps crying out. Now she's crying out after the apostles. The apostles become vexed with this, and they go to the Lord. And then he says something a little bit cryptic. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord came to enlighten the Jews. And from the enlightenment of the Jews, the whole world would be enlightened. The Lord didn't come specifically to enlighten Dallas, Texas. He expects his followers, his disciples, to enlighten Dallas, Texas. And the woman then, I guess they stopped for a while, and she was able to worm her way forward and was able to actually present herself to him and saying, Lord, help me. And then he answers her something very dismissive. Most of us, I think, in such a situation would consider it to be rude. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, then the children and the Jews. He's sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So his task is to enlighten the Jews. And there are only a very few circumstances where he had interactions with those that were not Jews. Preeminent is the one with the Samaritan woman, where he cured the lepers, of which one was a Samaritan. And now this interaction. And he says, I'm not going to take my teaching. I'm not going to waste time with the little dogs. And the woman doesn't take offense. She knows that she's outside of faith. She's outside of the household of faith. She believes he's God. But she also knows that she's unworthy and outside of salvation. She accepts this. She doesn't take offense at it. But she also knows, since she believes in God, she knows that the Son of David will have mercy upon her if she asks with faith and with desire and with humility. So she answers, I think, the greatest answer in all of the scriptures, I think, to something the Lord has said. She says, Yea, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This is part of the reason the Lord says she has great faith. Her pursuing of him, even when he ignored her, was a sign of great faith. She was willing to struggle for what she wanted. But this is an even greater example. What a marvelous thing to recognize her unworthiness and yet to have this confidence that the Lord would help her. She knew her place. She was a little dog. She didn't say that she was anything but. She didn't take offense. By the way, that's quite an insult among the Jews, among those peoples, to call someone a dog. But she knew that even a dog could lay patiently by their master's table, not begging, because then they would just be cuffed and kicked and sent out into the courtyard, but patiently and awaiting for the time when they would be fed, even if it was only by accident. Most of you know dogs are my favorite animal. Dogs are amazing creatures. They're humble. They don't take offense. They're very patient. They're very loyal. They know their place, and they're not offended by it. They're not offended that we tell them what to do. And they're very bold, but bold and humble at the same time. True humility brings about in a person great boldness. This was a very bold comment for the woman to make. Yes, I am a dog. But I know that you are merciful, and even the dogs will be fed. So the Lord answers her and says, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done to thee even as thou wilt." And the demon from the daughter left her at that very moment. She was healed. Do we have this kind of faith, brothers and sisters? Do we have the kind of faith that we're willing to pursue the Lord even when we don't get an answer? Even when we feel that we're ignored, perhaps? Do we have such great faith that we're willing to look at ourselves and see our imperfections and accept that we are unworthy of mercy, and yet the Lord will give us mercy if we will be as this woman was? Do we have this kind of faith? I dare say most of the time, probably not. But this woman can teach us. We don't even know her name. In all of church history, I'm not sure that we know her name at all. The woman at the well, she wasn't named. We know her history. She was Saint Fontenay. But this woman is nameless. Nameless on the earth, but not in heaven. She's well known in heaven. Let us have her faith. Let us have just a little bit of her faith. Let us pursue the Lord. Let us not take offense when we don't have things exactly the way we desire them, according to our grand plan and grand schemes. Let us consider ourselves to be like God. But dogs will obtain mercy from God if they are patient. Well, actually, if they just act like true dogs, patient, loyal, bold, humble. Do you have those attributes? Are you very patient? Are you loyal? Do you pray with attention? Do you pray often? Is your goal when you get up in the morning to be a Christian? In everything you do, say, think? Or do you have other goals when you get up? To take care of this or that, or this ambition, or that thing? Let us be like this woman. Let us be humble. Let us pursue the Lord. And if we are humble, and if we pursue the Lord, then we will have great boldness, and we'll be able to ask Him for things. We'll be able to say, "Lord, help my friend, my son, my daughter, my wife, this person who is grievously suffering." And the Lord will hear us. Not because we think that we deserve anything, but He will see our faith, and the Lord responds to faith. And true faith is boldness before the Lord. So let us cultivate our faith, at least by struggling to pursue the Lord and to be loyal, and not expecting immediately to be fed with the feast that's on the table. The crumbs are enough. May God help us to be more like this woman.